passage that was already read for us this morning, but please turn there again. Colossians chapter 1. This morning we saw enacted before us a crucifixion. It was a means of capital punishment that the ancient Romans used. Throughout the ages, there have been many, many different methods of torture and capital punishments, everything from stoning to hanging to firing squad to the electric chair. But few methods have been as theatrical or as gory as the French guillotine. Now, all of you know what the guillotine is, don't you? It was the apparatus that they constructed. At the top of it, it had a large, very sharp blade that was drawn up by rope. They put the victim's head on a block, and then at the right time, let go of the rope. The blade would come down, instantly severing the head from the torso, and the head would usually be caught in a basket of sorts. You may say, Dave, why in the world are you talking about something so gory and hideous in church? Because that is exactly what is happening in many people's spiritual lives. And the results are even more devastating. Whenever a body is separated from its head, it can no longer function or live. We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? Anybody who disagrees with that? Okay. With that in mind, I want us to go back to our passage this morning in Colossians and see the significance of Jesus, our head. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Why don't you read along with me, beginning at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Lord, we ask that as we look at this amazing passage, so overflowing with truth, we ask that you would help us to even pick up just a little of it this morning, for we realize that when we catch a glimpse of who you are, Lord, our souls will be expanded, our lives will be transformed. Do that for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few weeks we've been looking at the various titles and names of Jesus found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Things like he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amazing titles that describe the majesty of who he is. This passage in Colossians does a similar thing in that it points very clearly to the fact that Jesus was not just a nice man, a good model, a prophet, or someone else. He was God, the one true living God in flesh. But then he adds, after a summary of titles that point that clearly, he then says, and he, this one true living God in flesh, he is the head of the body, the church. The body that he refers to here is the church, the gathering of God's people, the family of God, the family of believers who are united by their faith in Christ throughout the ages, throughout locations. Now that body, that church, has a head. And that head of the body is not a pope, it is not a bishop, it is not a presbyter, it is not a pastor or a priest. That one and only head of the body of Christ is none other than Jesus himself. He is the head of the body. Now, this morning I want to explore quickly with you in the time that's left, what are the functions of a head? What are the functions of your head on your body? And similarly, what are the functions of Jesus as the head of the body of Christ? Now, without getting overly technical here this morning or medical, I simply want to suggest to you that there are three primary functions of a head. One is to maintain life. Two is to provide direction. And three is to coordinate the body. I think we can all agree that those things would come from the head. Well, let's look at how that passes over into the life and ministry of Jesus as he is the head of the body. First of all, to maintain life. Our bodies can live without our limbs. You've seen people with arms dismembered. They're functioning, or they may be limited in their function, but they're alive and well. If you cut both my arms off, I would be significantly limited. I couldn't even talk very well, but I would still be alive. If you cut my legs off as well, I'd be very funny looking, but I'd still be alive. If you poked out my eardrums, I couldn't hear a thing, but I'd still be alive. If you took out my eyeballs, I couldn't tell who was there, but I'd still be alive. You could even remove some of my organs and I could survive. But dear friends, you take my head off and I'm dead meat. I cannot survive. Neither can you. The moment you separate the head from the body, it's over. Because the head is the maintaining factor of the life. It is from whom the life, it is the part from which the life flows. Now, in light of that, because it's absolutely essential to stay connected, I want you to listen to these words from John 10, in which Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." It is from him the life flows. Many people wonder why their spiritual lives seem to be so dead, so limp, so dry, so humdrum. Are we connected to our head? Jesus changed the imagery in John chapter 15 when he spoke about him being the vine and us being the branches. But listen to this in the context of him being the head and us being the body. And I want you to count, especially kids, you can count for me here. How many times in this passage do we hear the words "remain"? Okay? You were in church already. You don't qualify. Okay, you got to count here. Listen to these words. Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Okay, kids, how many remains? Now, how many of you were listening to the number of remains and missing the passage? Yeah, okay. Well, adults, how many did you get? 9? Any other number? 7? 10? 8? We got 8, 9, 10. Let's average it. It is 9. 9 times in these few short verses, Jesus says, "Remain." In other words, stay connected. Because if you get disconnected, the vine from the branch, the branch from the vine, or the body from the head, if you get disconnected, the life is over. Do you hear it, dear friends? Jesus is the head of the body because we cannot draw any spiritual life if we are disconnected from him. All the more reason to stay attached. Now, the second thing that we see that a head provides is direction. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand this one. My fingers, my feet, my toes, my eyes, my tongue, the various parts of my body do only those things that are directed by the brain. Can you imagine what it would be like if my hands all of a sudden decided to do things that I hadn't planned for it? It would be pretty embarrassing. My hand is directed by my brain, and that's what makes it useful to the body as a whole. I have a very, very vivid memory from my childhood. I grew up on a farm in southern Saskatchewan, as many of you will know. And the winters got very, very cold over there. By the way, it's already snowing back there. I'm so glad I'm here. But every year, my mother would prepare for the long, cold winter in the prairies and by getting the meat supply frozen. And every fall, late August, early September, she would kill about 40 chickens. We raised chickens. And I remember the day. It just lives in my memory. She'd gather up these chickens in a little pen. And she'd have this huge tub of water, of scalding water, in which to plunge the dead chicken so she could get the feathers off. Yeah. How many of you have seen something like this? Okay. Some of you have seen it at the souk, and others have maybe in other places. But I remember she would start, she'd grab one chicken, whoosh, off would go the head with a sharp knife. Next one. She'd do about 10 of them, and then she'd get the rest of the stuff done. But these chickens, when you take the head off, this is a pretty gory sermon this morning, isn't it? When you take the head off, the weirdest thing happens. That body wouldn't die. It started to jump, and it would jump all over, and these chickens would start to bounce and jump. And as a little kid, I was scared to death. I remember one time, this thing, I was by my mom, and it started to jump toward me. And so I moved over, and it kept jumping. So I moved this way, and it jumped after me. And I looked over, and there was this head over there with the eyes still blinking. And I was convinced that that head was somehow sending signals to that body saying, "Get the kid." I tell you, I was so scared. Now, as I matured and realized that because the head was disconnected, there really was no signals. But boy, I sure thought there was. It was a real scary experience for me. Well, I know better now. That flopping chicken may have looked very fearful to me, but dear friends, it had no particular direction. It just happened to be bouncing toward me. It was just making a scene. Now, does that remind you of any Christians that you know? Does that remind you of any churches that you know? Lots of activity. May even catch lots of people's attention. But when closely examined, when it's seen for what it is, could it be nothing more than the death throes of a body unconnected to its head? Sobering question. When we, the body of Jesus Christ, are connected to Jesus, our head, there will be direction that is provided for our lives. We will not be flopping around like a chicken with its head cut off. We will not be aimlessly going in different directions. When we are connected to Jesus, dear friends, we will hear His Spirit whisper to us, "My child, this is the way. Walk in it." Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." People who are connected to Jesus, who are listening to His voice, have His direction. They know. They are able to get that from Him. And we'll have the promptings of our spirit and our soul telling us at times, "Go here, do this, don't do that. Stop saying that before it crosses your lips. Check that activity, check that habit. Minister to that person. See the needy? Give him $20 this morning." Whatever, God's Spirit is able to give us the direction. He's able to provide that for us individually, and He's able to provide it for us collectively. Agreed? Amen. That's the job of Him. When He is our head and when we are connected to Him, He provides that kind of direction. Another wonderful thing about this is that when God provides direction to us by His Spirit, and when we as individuals follow that direction, we can do so without ever having to worry whether or not we're going to bump into each other. Because if you are being connected to the head and getting your directions from Him, and I am connected to the head getting my directions from Him, the same head who connects us all, and this is the third point, the third function of the body, is He coordinates our activity. He not only directs us, but He coordinates us. I wish we could launch into a whole teaching on spiritual gifts here. God has given spiritual gifts throughout this entire body, and all of them are under coordination of His Spirit. And when we are functioning according to His direction, friends, the body of Christ becomes a very exciting place. Very exciting. And so I don't have to worry about bumping into each other when we are getting our directions from our head. We're coordinated. You know, My body's hitting mid-40s now, and in my entire life, I have never yet once, had my brain tell my feet to go in one direction and my torso in the other. And you may say, "I don't know, Pastor, I saw you play baseball last week." Well, I may not be as coordinated as I want to be in baseball or whatever, but my brain attempts to coordinate my body in such a way that it is all doing something well together. And when Jesus Christ is allowed to be the head of the body, that's what takes place among us. Unfortunately, as God's people who make up the body, we sometimes disconnect from Christ. We sometimes allow sin to dwell within us. When we fail, instead of confessing it and getting right with God, we let it kind of sit. We put it under the rug. We bury it. We pretend it's not there. And the sin begins to get moldy. It starts to muster. Like a cancer, it starts to grow. And soon those things can seem to disconnect us almost from Christ. It doesn't really, but it feels like it does. It short-circuits our ability to hear Him. It short-circuits our ability to understand His promptings. And that's when the trouble seems to settle in. And then we wonder why we start banging into each other. We wonder why the relationships get dysfunctional. We wonder why things aren't clicking the way they're supposed to. Dear friends, I know pastors in the ministry who spend their entire pastoral ministry doing nothing but trying to put out the fires among God's people. Trying to solve this problem and that problem and this problem and that. And there's a role for that. But friends, the best thing I can ever do for you as your pastor, the best thing I can do is get you connected to Jesus. And keep you, if I can, connected to Jesus. If that can happen, we will solve 98% of the problems in a church. Because the Spirit of God, when He's allowed to direct us individually, automatically coordinates us. Automatically. Amen. So what can we do to make sure that we as individuals are keeping connected to our head? Because when we are, it's amazing all the other problems that are precluded. This morning we came to the communion table. I can't think of a better place to get reconnected. I can't think of a better place to admit that we've been disconnected, to admit that we have sinned, that we failed, and we all do. But when we come and we lay that, as we did in the drama this morning, as we lay our sins on Jesus, as we confess them to Him, He forgives us. He restores us. And as our head, the one who was wounded in our behalf, as our head, He once again ministers life. He once again ministers direction. He once again ministers coordination. Thank God we've got Jesus as our head. The head of the body of Christ. I think it's worth singing about that. And as we're going to sing, I want to invite you to come to Jesus this morning. You may look at your life and you may say, boy, I may have known this, but in all honesty, I admit that my life is somewhat disconnected. When I examine my own heart, you say, I may not feel or sense or know that life that Jesus spoke about. He said, I came to give you life abundantly, that it might be full and overflowing and meaningful. Do you have that life, dear friends, this morning? If you don't, come to Jesus, the head. Do you have direction in your life, or are you flip-flopping? You don't know where you're going. You're not sure what to do. You're not sure you can hear the voice of the Lord in your life. Do you need? Then come to Jesus. He gives direction. Are you bumping into people? You got broken relationships in your home or beyond your home? Somewhere in the church, you can't get it together with somebody else? Unresolved conflicts? Dear friends, come to Jesus as the head. Come. Come to Him. He is anxious. He is more than desires. He said, when you're connected with Me, My joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. This is the Jesus we come to this morning. We want to sing that song, Praise God. Marty, are you here? Come and lead us in that beautiful song, Praise God for the Body. And when we praise Him for the body, we obviously praise Him for the head of that body.